Psalm 8. Familiar psalm to many of us. It is always good to remember that this little prescript here is part of the scripture as well, so I will be reading it. Psalm 8, to the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Join me in prayer. Our great and majestic and holy Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for life. Thank you for giving us this day, Lord, a beautiful day that we would gather in the name of Jesus Christ with your people to sing your praises and to hear your word and to hear your word taught and explained and proclaimed. Father, we are your creatures. We are those you have set apart as made in your image. And as we behold the wonderful things that just all humanity, as we see the powers and abilities and gift and talents that human beings display on this earth, whether it's music or sports or so many things, Lord, that we see throughout this world. And it is amazing to see what you have given us in our capacities and the wonderful things that you have blessed and bestowed upon us. Father, we know that your word reveals that you made us lower than the heavenly beings, just a little lower. You've crowned us with glory and honor, and you've put all things under our feet as we have dominion over all the earth that you created. And it is so easy to look at ourselves and to think, wow, humanity is amazing. And we are. But so often, Lord, as we do that, we marvel at humanity and we do not marvel at humanity's creator. We do not marvel at the one that all those gifts and talents and rulership and authority is to point to. It is to point to our great creator and maker and sustainer and the glorious one in whom is all life and all good and all wisdom and knowledge and glory. Father, forgive us when we make much out of mankind and belittle you. We do this all the time. Lord, we pray for the eyes to see that you made every bit of us the glory of mankind, to worship you, to give back to you what you've given to us in praise and glory and thanksgiving. Father, we pray for those today who, because of sickness or injury or whatever it may be, Lord, do not have the same capacities that many of us share and take for granted. Whether it's injured bodies or injured minds, Lord, let us be thankful for the gifts that you give, the everyday goodness of sight and hearing and taste and the ability to move. Father, thank you for these wonderful gifts. Lord, help us to remember that that everything we have comes from your gracious hand. And in your good and sovereign providence, Lord, it may be that we lose these things, that we might know you, that we might know our sin and know our ability and our need to repent and rest our trust always in you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross that you bore that made us right with you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your holy life, striving always in obedience, always giving praise and honor to the Father. Holy Spirit, be in us that we might do the same thing, that we might live for the Father and the glory of God. Make us like Christ and teach us humility and godly wisdom and Christ-like obedience. And then help us to love our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our acquaintances, Lord, that we might reflect the goodness and glory of Christ and spread that gospel wherever we go. Fill us with joy in Jesus, that we might never cease to praise the wonderful glories of Christ. Thank you this morning. I pray for Bob as he comes to deliver your word. I pray that our ears are open, our hearts are open, and that you will root out any sins in our lives, any doubt, any sadness that is due to our human limits. And Father, I pray that you will raise us to the glory of Christ, that we might hear him and behold him and praise him all the days of our life. Do this for us, for your great glory and the glory of Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Meet Gavin. My grandson, football quarterback for the CD Rams in Harrisburg. I compliment Gavin. I love him. I praise him. Just enjoyed thoroughly the day that he was baptized. He is big in my eyes. He's big anyway. But is anything troubling you about this slide? It looks like Gavin, the football quarterback, is bigger to me than God the Creator is. Is this next slide better? You know, we could put anything in the picture. In fact, I think we do put most anything in one or the other of these pictures. Could I ask you this? Who or what is bigger to you and to me? In your day-to-day living, in your thinking, in your life. Now, we can say one thing. I want us to wrestle with reality. Is God, my Creator, bigger to me? More special in my thinking and living each day? Bigger than, you fill in the blank. Do you want to put a someone there? Do you want to put a something there? Do you want to put a somewhere there? What do you want to put in the blank? I hope you want to put everything in the blank. That God, our Creator, is bigger, more important, more than anything else in life. Even grandson football players. Next slide. I hope that our study in Genesis helps nudge us toward this conclusion. We're not just studying, looking at, considering 15 weeks on the subject of creation just to cover it, and, well, RBC has covered creation, so what are we going to move on to next? No. This is important to nudge us, to move us, to see our Creator in all of His greatness, or we sang, majesty, compared to anything, everything else there is in life. From the record of the fourth day of creating, we pick up the theme, let there be sunshine and moonlight. I encouraged our bulletin preparer, please don't make a mistake here and put sunshine and moonshine. That would not carry the same message. Seven brief points will elaborate our theme. They're in your bulletin on the back. Point A, the identification of the lights on day four. The identification of the lights on day four. Let me read for you, beginning at verse number 14. We'll go through the 19th verse. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. The identification of the lights on day four, verse 16, hydrates this point for us, sun, moon, and stars. Sun, moon, and stars take center stage as the leading light sources for the earth. Up to this point, there has been light present, created by God on day one. We considered that before. You can look at verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So there's been light. It alternated with some darkness to establish a pattern of night and day, and to separate evening and morning. Verses 4 and 5 explain that to us. So we've had light and darkness. But now lights or luminaries or light carriers or light bearers is a way to say it, appear. Light is concentrated now in heavenly objects as earth's creation is being completed. You don't just have this expanse of light. Now it's concentrated. Are you with me here so far? In fact, you could have written point number one of this sermon. You could read through. You could have the identification of the lights. Sun, moon, and stars. Point B, the origination of the lights on day four. Has anything changed since day one, verse one, on our study of creation? We began with God and we continue with God. Each creation day starts the same with the words, and God, or then God. The creation story font seems to get bigger as we go along here. It is God again, God still, God alone. That is the pattern that we're following. The Trinity is the creation team. No one and nothing else is added. No one, nothing else is needed as we go through the creation story. A speed reading or even a meditative reading of the rest of the Bible will not excavate any alternate or additional powers or persons behind origins. Start here, end there, 66 books later, and it all comes out the same. God again. God still. God alone. These lights are God's work. Could I suggest to you that there is a comforting reminder? Turn your seat into a recliner, if you wish, at least in your mind. There's a recliner for us. Can we not, should we not, approach all of our days with these three phrases front and center in our minds? Every day. Today, it is God again. Today, it is God still. Today, it is God alone who manages my life, your life. Did you think that yesterday? Did you believe that last week? Will you believe it tomorrow? Someone could make us pick up on this. Someone. Make us all plaques for our living room. Maybe in the hallway with those words. God again. God still, God alone. You walk down the hall, there it is. You come into the living room, there it is. Wherever you are, you get that impression. At least hang a thought plaque on the wall of your mind if you're not going to make one and tack it up. Look at it throughout your day. Cling to its truth. Whatever your day includes. You see, we're looking at days of creation and we just have this overwhelming sense of those three things. God again, God still, God alone. That hasn't changed. It still is for your days. Point C, the generation of the lights on day four. The generation of the lights. I want you to walk this shore of truth with me. Let's pick up a few shells to keep. Did you ever do that? Go to the shore and pick up this one and pick up that one. Let's do that here. In verse 14, grab God said. That's a pretty one, isn't it? Can't you hear the words from your child? Mommy, Daddy, here's a pretty one. It's number 762, but it's still pretty. Here's a pretty one. God said. You got that one? Now, from verse 16, gather, God made. And in verse 17, don't go by the words, God set. These make a nice spiritual charm bracelet there. Charming words to read, charming words to cling to think about. God decided to ordain lights to exist in the heavens. Dustin read it earlier, Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained with his fingers. metaphorically speaking. On day four of creation, God lit up the sun, the moon, and the stars. They may have been there already, unlit. You think about that. You know, I love my grandson. But his touchdown passes, his runs for yardage, his handoffs, all that he does as a quarterback, I can't help. They look quite a bit smaller than this act by Almighty God. Don't you think? So in your life with family, so in your life with whatever it might be, doesn't it all look so much smaller than when God said, God made, God set? That really impresses me a lot more. Sorry, Gavin. I love you, buddy. That's the point of studying a text like this, so that we come away from it with that sense, with that idea. God is so much more. God's will, God's ways, God's work. I praise Gavin's pass. Shouldn't I praise the Creator more? Maybe we have another plaque in the making here. Let's make plaques today, all right? Underneath the God again, God still, God alone shingle hanging there, let's add that one that says, God said, God made, God set. Wouldn't that make a nice string of plaques? You do agree that this is how it happens in our lives, right? Ephesians 1:11, the last part that says, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. God said, God made, God set, according to the counsel of His own will. Wow, what a majestic God, what a great being, what a God we have. Point D, the confirmation about the lights on day four. When something is repeated six times, it is at high volume. It's saying, see me, see me, see me. There are several such repetitions in Genesis 1. You go ahead and find them. Good little study for you. All the repetitions there. The one catching my eye includes the words, and it was so. Verse 15. It was so. It's mentioned several other times. These are words of confirmation. The words, and it was so, validate. They substantiate something. You can't just say, and it was so, without having it refer to something. What was so? They give support and vouch for another. What's being vouched for in the text? For those words to be put down by Moses. The words, and it was so, tell the reader that what was just said about the lights really happened. No reason to doubt here. The lights actually were definitely and completely switched on in the universe. They were off before this. They're off. Oh, there's some light. But the lights weren't on. But God said, I'm going to turn them on. Click. And they were on. It was so. Notice that it does not say, and it was so eventually. It doesn't say, and it was so over time. It was like they're on a dimmer switch. And little by little, they came up. No, God said, let there be lights, click, and they're on. It was so. The idea of these words seems to be that this stage of creation came about without delay. Then and there, God generated the functioning of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Things did not develop at their own speed. This miracle really reminds me of, and David alluded to it earlier, the miracles of Jesus. You remember the miracles that he did? If he touched, and it's so. He spoke, and it was so. Sometimes he wasn't even nearby, he just thought it, and it was so. What a Lord. Now, I want to know, is that idea warming your heart yet? It ought to be. At least a few embers down there. I think it should be warming you up. We can keep praying and trusting God for things and be persuaded that it can be so. Why do we pray? Why do we trust? Because God can make it so. Why pray otherwise? What's the point if we don't believe God can make it so? Don't you love Luke 11, 9 to 13? And in those verses, Jesus is speaking and he says, all right, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to ask. I want you to seek. I want you to knock. But what does he add? Basically, in my words, and it'll be so. Ask and it'll be given to you. Knock, it'll be open to you. Seek, you'll find. That's just saying, and it will be so, according to his own will. There's real encouragement to pray, real encouragement to believe God. When God can say, I'm going to flip the lights on, and they came on, then you need to believe. When you're praying over individuals, over circumstances, over situations, whatever it is, you need to cling to the idea. And it was so and can be immediately. He doesn't always make it that way, I know. But he can. What a God! Point E, the explanation about the lights on day four. If you read some science textbooks and listen to the Weather Channel, they'll help you to understand the immense influence of the sun, the moon, and the stars on the earth. In fact, in verse 16, the Bible goes so far as to say in Genesis here, 1, the sun and moon rule. That's an interesting word, an interesting way to put it. They're going to rule the day and the night. That means they're pretty important, this sun, moon, stars business. The rule may be as simple as dividing the day from the night, talked about here. Or it may be as complex as determining seasons and days and years. And he says, that's the sun and the moon. I give them the authority and the rule to manage all that stuff. Under his hand, of course. You know it, don't you? The time of the year where the sun seems like it's never going to come up, and it's coming up over there, and then the later on in the year, it's coming up over here, seemingly, and at a different time, and it's ruling your day. Why do we even change the clocks ahead or back? That old rascal, the sun. Or the government, take your pick. The orbits, the rotations, the gravitational pulls, the distances from one another, all have their effect. Did you notice verse 14? Toward the end of the verse, the word signs. Now, I personally don't believe that this refers to whether you are a Pisces or a Leo. I don't think it's astrological signs that we're talking about here. Rather, it seems that it can be as practical as sailors getting their bearings at sea by the stars. It's an indicator. There's the North Star, there's the Dipper, and there's this, and there's that. And they're indications. Or it can be miraculous, as significant as the wise men following a star to Jesus. So God created and he energized the sun, moon, and stars to fulfill specific purposes. The lights are not random. They're not chance. They're not accidental objects that happen to fall into place to do good for the earth. God planned and shaped the universe around the earth as a home for man. And all of this is so that we bring praise and glory to our God. We've been doing a wonderful singing today. Second line of the doxology. First line, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. There we are. You've got to praise him when you learn these things. Our study of God as our creator, the creator and igniter of the sun, the moon, and the stars should increase the reverb and the volume of our singing. Point F, the determination about the lights on day four. Here we go again with one of those repeat phrases. No loose ends here. Everything is done, and God is satisfied. His omniscient scan of day four is summed up nicely. Good. Just jump over to that New Testament. You want to hear that good, don't you? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's a beautiful word. And here we are, God working, and it's good. Finished. No waiting for the lights to reach their full potential. No retakes like school pictures. So they still do that, right? We don't like that one. Go back on Thursday for the retake. And this time smile or comb your hair. Or button your shirt, or do something. We need to have retakes. The sun is shining. The moon is reflecting. The stars are twinkling by the end of day four. It's all good. Question? So, do you think that God has to ever do do-overs? Does God have to have retakes? How about in your life? Now, we may have some things that we need to do over. What's that pastor say? Can I get a witness? There are things I know I need to do over. Words, actions, attitudes, decisions. We may need some retakes. Anything come to mind? But let's be confident that God's sovereign providence in our lives is always good. Do we think so? A man named Job struggled with this a bit. Read his book. I'm reading Job right now. Incredible. Maybe you're struggling with this now. Good. The sovereign providence of God is good. As good as the creation of the sun, moon, and stars. So it's time for, here we go again, another mental plaque for your wall. It's a little longer. Put it up there, though. And God saw that it was good. In fact, maybe you want to put it on a mirror. So when you look in the mirror and think about your whole life, you conclude, and God saw that his providential dealings with you were good. Those really are comforting words, words of peace, words of joy. We need to believe them. We need to believe them through our questions and through our tears and through our challenges and through our temptations. God, working all things after the counsel of his own will, does a good job with me and you. Oh, how he deserves our praise. Gavin, I love you, boy, but you don't match up to this. And thankfully, he knows that. Point G, the operation of the lights on day four. The operation of the lights on day four, just because the sun, moon, and stars are now given some responsibility over the earth. Remember the word that we saw, rule. They rule over the earth. The schedule does not change. They don't go off on their own. They don't start to, okay, we'll handle this, God. The pattern from day one continues. The length and type of the days is the same. Verse 19 sums it up for us again. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. It's the same. And here's an interesting side note about the phrase, the fourth day. The fourth day. Every other time in Scripture that this word day is used, and it's an important and it is modified by a number, fourth day, it always refers to a normal solar day, like our day. Now, the word day by itself is used other ways. Right over here, chapter 2, verse number 4. This is the history of the heavens and earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth. And that word day doesn't have a number with it, does it? It's just saying in the time period, or when. But it's always a 24-hour day when it has the number. While we're talking about days, could I ask you about your 24-hour days? I don't know anybody here that has longer ones or shorter ones. You've got 24-hour days. Let me remind you of what God said in Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. To number our 24-hour periods, not long periods of time. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, why is that so important? Why is it so important to number our days? Let the Bible answer in Hebrews 9, 27 to 28a. And as it is appointed for men to die once, end of our days. But after this, the judgment, oh my. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Every time the sun sets and every time the sun rises, I want you to be sure that you're numbering your days, the 24-hour ones that you've been given. And that in numbering those days, as you begin, as you end, you're trusting Jesus. Conclusion. Do you know about the other lights that God has created for the earth? Have you heard about the other ones? We've got the sun, the moon, the stars. But how about the other ones? There are many of them. There have been millions of them. Let me read what the Apostle Paul writes to Christians in Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing. That's as you're going through your 24-hour days. All things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Ah, more lights. Jesus, I could say he double underlines Paul, but I think it's the other way around. Paul really double underlines Jesus. You remember what he said in Matthew 5, 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Good to have the sun. Good to have the moon. Good to see the stars. And unbelievers are accountable for what they see and all of that. But they also see you. So make sure your light shines. Let's take that as our last challenge in prayer. Something like this as our prayer. Lord, make yourself bigger to me than anything else. And make yourself bigger through me to everyone around. Isn't that a good prayer? Let's pray. God in heaven, that is our prayer. Make yourself bigger to us. Sometimes you don't seem that big. Help us with that. And be bigger through us to everyone that we see, meet, speak to. We want you to be big to us and to everyone as our Creator and as the Savior of sinners. Make it so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.